Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Hi, and welcome back. Thanks for joining me today. We have a most distinguished guest in Dr. Saragrama Sabaro, who is a gentleman who has had a history in both science and in turn intuitional spiritual values as well. He has a Bachelor of Science in Physics, Chemistry, and Mathematics, a Master's in Inorganic Chemistry, a Doctorate in Physical Inorganic Chemistry, worked for the DuPont Company, and at the same time, as a fellow in the American Institute of Chemistry, he has been involved in writing in both chemistry and books on the Bhagavad Gita. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about his spiritual and physical journeys. And I think it'll be quite interesting because we're going to talk about the mind's eye. So thank you for being with us today. And can you share a little bit about your personal and professional journey with the listeners?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I got my primary and secondary education in my native place, Saligrama. It is a very beautiful town, and everybody was supportive of everything I was doing. So that is the springboard of success for me long time ago in 1939. I received my BS degree, MS degree in India, PhD in London, spent a couple of years in Canada doing research at various universities. I came to the United States in 1969 and worked as a professor of chemistry at Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, and I retired in 2009. The impetus to my spiritual journey started even when I was very young. My parents, some of my teachers and friends, and great people like Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa helped to shape my spiritual outlook. These people exhibited one common characteristic. They help people with a smile and without selfishness. I read Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, as well as philosophical books by Shankaracharya, Swami Vivekananda, Jay Krishnamurti, and others. I was convinced at that time that selfishness and peace of mind don't coexist. If I want peace of mind, I have to reject selfishness. If I stick to selfishness, I will have no peace of mind. My mother lived with us for 10 years in the United States before she died at the age of 96. I used to read to her Bhagavad Gita every day. She enjoyed it very much. I was amazed to see that she was able to communicate the essence of Bhagavad Gita in a simple language to relatives and friends. On the first anniversary of my mother's death, I published an English translation of Bhagavad Gita. I realized that Bhagavad Gita is an effective, practical manual that guides one to lead a pure, purposeful, and peaceful life in this chaotic world. Bhagavad Gita opened my mind's eye and enabled me to see the world for what it is. One may wonder, what do we mean by mind's eye? To me, the phrase mind's eye refers to an inspirational or intuitive way of experiencing the solution to a problem one is earnestly seeking. The inspiration may come as visual images. It may come as inner voices, or it may come in some other form. A number of great achievers, scientists, mathematicians, artists, and philosophers have made significant contributions using this capacity. In the spiritual domain, enlightenment or self-realization is possible only with the mind's eye. In Bhagavad Gita, the equivalent term for mind's eye is jnana chakshu, which means the eye of knowledge or wisdom. Jnana chakshu, the mind's eye, enables the seer to perceive the distinction between the material body and the consciousness. Now, one may wonder, is the mind's eye inherited or can it be developed?
So I was going to ask you that.
Okay.
And so that, because that's a critical thing, because this is not taught, you know, our traditional American education. So,
no, it is not.
Is it something that can be learned, or does it have to be inherited?
Yeah, I have thought about it a lot. Mind's eye, you can say, is inherited and can also be developed. As you know, occasionally, we all do something extraordinary by intuition. This power can be enhanced by cultivating a congenial mind. The Bhagavad Gita says one must elevate and not degrade oneself by one's mind. For one who has controlled his mind, the mind is the best friend. But for one who has failed to do so, the mind is the worst enemy. According to Indian philosophy, to be more specific, the Sankhya philosophy, the mind is shaped by three fundamental forces of nature called gunas. There are three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva is pure and induces calmness and contentment. Rajas is passion and induces restlessness and greediness. Tamas is inertia, induces lethargy and ignorance. We all come to this world with the three gunas in some proportion. This proportion is not static. It changes constantly. Bhagavad Gita says, when sattva predominates, the individual moves up, makes progress. When rajas predominates, the individual stays in the middle, stays stagnant. When tamas predominates, the individual moves down. To cultivate the mind side, one has to have sattvic quality. How can we enhance the sattvic quality? We have to watch what we consume. This includes both the food diet and the information diet. Bhagavad Gita helps us to understand what to consume and what not to consume. The second approach is very important. This is performing. This is called Karma Yoga. Practice Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, in a nutshell, is performing work to the best of one's ability without selfishness and without attachment to the outcome. Now,
we're going to have to wrap this up a little bit. And so how would you advise someone to start in 30 seconds or less?
Karma Yoga. One has to perform the work to best one's ability without selfishness and without attaching oneself to the fruits of the work.
And Salagrama, this is so potent, we're going to have to do this again because this fits in more than 9.5 minutes. And this is amazing when it comes from a scholar and a scientist. So I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on Radio MD. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page on RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well.